Hello and welcome back to another episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. The episode will begin very shortly, and boy, does it begin at a lick with the fabulous Kelechi Okafor. Before we get on to that, though, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Great Oak Farm. These guys are ecologists, and they also write the most beautiful, beautiful books for kids. So if you have little people in your life, whether they are your little people or little people that you have to buy gifts for, then I cannot recommend this lot enough. They're completely independent. They're a really small scale operation at the moment. I think they're going to become huge. You're going to hear about them here first. Sammy the Slow Worm is the second kids book from the ecologists Tamsin and David Lee at Great Oak Farm. It's beautifully written. The illustrations are absolutely gorgeous. Go and have a look at their website. They sell t-shirts and stuff like that as well, which is just fabulous too. But this book is a beautiful thing. It's the story of, well, it's the story of Sammy the Slow Worm, which is why it's called Sammy the Slow Worm. It really makes sense. If you're looking for a kid's book that isn't run-of-the-mill, everyone gets the same kids' books, isn't, you know, in the supermarkets the first thing you see, but is a little bit different and talks about ecology and nature and things which we are also desperate to teach our kids about, then stop your search right now. Go and have a look at Sammy the Slow Worm. There is a link to the book in today's episode. Have a click, have a browse, and get stuck in. It is absolutely brilliant. All right, time for today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster.
This is going to be an intense show. I just want to know what you bought on Amazon.
People in my life tend to not be able to tell me what to do. So I think I usually find that intelligent men, successful men, tend to have female PTs. I started making my own wigs.
There it is. Is there a geriatric twerking club? Is that available?
I'm going to have to make one.
I'd rather die at 60 than eat toe-to-tail. What? I'm not interested in beef toes. My son the other day was using a big charger with the Apple Watch thing attached
to
it.
No, see, now you're being ridiculous. I think 2016, I started taking hot yoga very seriously.
Most exercise is a journey towards death.
Yeah.
So this, to be clear, this do not sit sign was to stop people from sitting on your gold radiator covers at your pole dancing studio.
Absolutely.
What a sentence. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Bass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Toaster for my love, thank God, toaster. Welcome back to another episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster, and I'm holding in my hand the phone and Amazon account of the author, social commentator, pole dance studio owner, Kelechi Okafor. I mean, pole dancing. When did the pole dancing thing happen? When did that start, please?
It started in, 2008? So I finished university and I went to Liverpool Hope University, finished. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go and find Sierra, the pop star, because I think we need to be friends.
Right. Okay.
So I moved to Atlanta to go and find
her.
Yes, of
course. Yes, then we've all had that moment.
As you do.
Yeah.
You do.
How did that go?
I didn't find her. Sorry. But I ended up working for a rapper as part of like this, you know, his booking team that would book him his gigs and stuff. Right. And so they would go to lots of strip clubs, obviously. His name was Shorty Low. He's dead now.
Right.
He's lower than before.
A lot has happened in the last sentence. This is going to be an intense show. I just want to know what you bought on Amazon. I don't think I've ever in one sentence gone, sorry for your loss. He's gone.
He's gone.
So stripping. Not stripping, pole dancing, pit stripping.
I would go to lots of strip clubs with them or a few of them. And I just saw these phenomenal dancers. And beyond just, you know, they're scantily clad and just there in a G-string and a rubber band on their thigh to hold their money. I was like, this is really athletic. This is amazing.
Yes.
So when I got back to London, I said, you know what, I'm going to start pole dancing. But I didn't start until about, 2013.
Right.
That's when I took it up as a pastime, fell in love with it. And within a few weeks, they asked if I wanted to teach a class for them to teach twerk, and then started teaching twerk classes as well as the pole classes. And after a while, I just went out on my own and then I opened my first studio in 2016.
Twerk teacher.
Yeah.
That's what I should have introduced you as. I mean, social commentator is very important to commentate on society, but come on, twerk dancer, twerk teacher.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, just lots of things.
interesting about the pole dancing thing, because when that happened, because the whole sort of narrative of pole dancing actually being incredibly good for you mm-hmm. and an incredible skill and all that stuff, that narrative has only been bubbling up in recent years. So when you came back and went 2012, that feels quite early on to be saying, I'm going to do it. Were people in your life going, excuse me?
Well, people in my life tend to not be able to tell me what to do.
Interesting.
So I think, so when I popped up and said, yes, I'm going to be starting this pole dance class. I want to get fit in another way. They're like, yeah, sure. Sure.
Especially
my mom, because I think she's been through so much with me. You know, she would have preferred as a Nigerian mother for me to be a doctor, a lawyer, something. And I've just like, no, I'm going to be an actress. And then when that wasn't quite popping off, I'm going to be a personal trainer. She's like, Kelechi, at one point she's like, Kelechi, please. Just Kelechi, please.
And where is she at now in this journey?
She's around. So we've opened a children's home together in Nigeria. So children that don't have like parents that they can be with, or people who can look after them healthily, safely, they live at the children's home in Lagos. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
So doing that.
Okay. And we haven't looked at a single item. We've gone dead rappers. We've got a kids home. You've done more for the world than any of my guests put together. That's 120 guests.
Wow.
And that, what you've just said in one sentence is like, yeah, that's actually made it. You've actually made a difference. All right. Well, let's dial back. Let's go back to 2007. Mm-hmm. And what we can see here, and you mentioned just now about being an actor, and we can see Edward II.
Yes.
Drama classic. So I'm getting the passion play of a Bamberg. There's a whole word that's been cut off halfway through. So this is your drama school, is it? Or what? What's happening here?
So that was 2007?
Yes.
So that would have been, I was about to finish. And so my final project was Christopher Marlowe's Edward II. And I wanted to focus on, should we imagine that let's reimagine it as Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ being gay. What about that? And so then I staged it at the bombed out church in Liverpool.
That space is incredible.
It's gorgeous.
Liverpool is one of my favorite cities.
Love it.
And you were there for how long? 3 years?
Three years. I'd never been before.
What a place to be a student.
But it was great because, I went to Brit School of Performing Arts. So I studied musical theatre. And after I finished, time for university. And my mum was like, Kelechi, don't you dare to go out and do performing arts again. You can only go to university if you go out and study something serious. So I was like, okay, I need to find a place that allows me to do drama and law.
And I can see criminal law.
Yeah, so I typed it into UCAS and the only place that came up, apart from somewhere in Anglia, another place that came up was Liverpool Hope University. Never been to Liverpool before, but I said, I guess I'm going there because I'm not allowed to do performing arts if I don't do anything serious.
And listen, Mum, Hope is in the title. So there's something there for you to cling on to.
So you did that
was 3 years.
Yeah.
But did you do the thing that I certainly did at uni where I turned up with good intentions to study English and just did plays and messed around for 3 years?
Well, because I had to do the law part, so I did a combined degree of drama.
That's what I'm saying. So did that actually give you a bit of...
Yeah, but they work together so well because it's all about understanding language. So actually having to study law made me understand language so much more. Yeah.
Precision. This is what I've recently actually reading contracts.
Ooh, because you want to read them.
You want to read those contracts.
Because when I saw In Perpetuity, I said, oh, now I'm noticing that a lot more. Especially in the age of AI.
Rights to my voice.
To my likeness forever. No, I'm too sexy for that.
Could you put that on the contract back? When you go through a contract and you put notes, that would be so
too
fucking
sexy
funny.
For this. Heyo. Just the initial at the bottom as well.
Sorry. I am far too hot for In Perpetuity. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, fine. So this is you gearing up. 2007, there you are at Liverpool. And there's drama.
Mm-hmm.
And there's drama.
Yeah.
We go through to 2008. Still there in 2008, were you? Or did you move
just
on
just about then? To finish. About to finish. That was final year. Did all my bits. And then headed off to Atlanta.
And then you go off to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Why did you go to Atlanta? Because of the passion for Sierra. Yeah. You weren't joking.
Because I really think we'd be great friends. We've got similar types of legs.
Yes, right.
And you know, you just want to...
Yeah.
Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trifecta.
And when you wrote Sierra the letter in your own blood, did she reply? Or what was the situation? I'm your biggest fan.
I didn't even reach out to her. I didn't have a plan.
You just thought you'd inevitably bump into her.
Literally. But at the airport, I did get to the airport, walked past Usher, walked past Erykah Badu.
Stop it.
Straight away. So I just thought, well, come on.
Why were they both at the airport? What was going on there?
To probably LA, going to different, Hartsfield, Jackson, just going wherever they were going.
You got to play that cool.
I did. I was just like, okay, because I'm here for Sierra. So lovely to have seen you all, but.
When you got to customs and they said, what's the purpose? Sierra.
I was just having a look around for Sierra.
Do you have her address? No, I'll find out. And how long were you out there for?
For about 3 months and then came back, then went back for another 3 months.
So
only like 6 months, really.
Right. Okay.
But then I just ended up on this like topsy-turvy journey working for the rapper. Then the rapper was doing his own thing. There were fights breaking out in the office. So many random things happened.
There were fights breaking out in the office?
Yeah.
The rapper's management company?
Yes, because it was this guy and, you know, they like to cheat and, you know, we'd go to these gigs in out of town. And anyway, the manager's girlfriend at the time, she came in and thought my friend who was super pretty, she was accusing her of like sleeping with the manager, and so she came in and she was just like, I'm gonna beat her up.
Excellent.
And I was just like,
I'm just here for Sierra.
I was, I just don't know. How did I end up here? I just came to do a 1-2 step.
Wow. What I mean, in terms of you know, when you add that together, that's 6 months you were out there.
Yeah.
That's a punchy 6 months in terms of the influence it has on you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That's had a big old impact on you, hasn't
it? Yeah, changed the trajectory of my life, I would say. Just being out there, seeing what's possible. Because Americans are ambitious, you know, and being in Atlanta and seeing all of these black people doing like having amazing businesses and all of these things, it just felt so different to the UK and how cool we all play it and like this whole stiff upper lip sort of vibe. You'd meet them and they were like, I do this, I do that. You should come and work with me. And so I was just all around the place. I started off in Atlanta, ended up in Washington, D.C.
Right. And that energy, have you brought that back to the UK? Is that something that stayed with you?
But I think it did, because then, you know, I got back around, 2009. By 2016, it feels like a long time, but then ended up opening my own studio. So I think in that time, I had to really get into the mindset of, I can do whatever I want, actually.
Yeah, and hustle. We're all hustling.
Yes.
Stop doing it with guilt. I think that's the problem. So many people are hustling going, sorry to bother you. Sorry. And the Americans are amazing, because they really pick up on that. When you say to the Americans, you know, I was told when I worked out there, you know, don't downplay what you've done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, but that's my personality is going, oh, it's nothing really. And they're like, no.
Let them know. Because we do that whole self-deprecating thing. Oh. They don't. First 60, they're the whole, you know, elevator pitch vibe people.
Yeah.
Like, what can you say about what you do in 60 seconds so somebody else is invested?
Yeah. God, okay, I'm already invested. How much do you need?
When they're looking through your shopping history and they don't understand it, have been bought red-handed.
All right, look, so 2010, back in the UK, the Faber Book of Monologues, the Vagina Monologues. Is this for auditioning stuff?
So I'm auditioning now and I'm going back to what kind of monologues did I like back in the day? Let me get them under my belt again and, you know, refresh my memory. So yeah, I was doing that for a bit.
How did you find auditioning? Are you still auditioning for stuff now? Is that part of your life?
Yeah, I hate it. I think we should really stop auditioning.
Correct answer.
You know,
thank you.
All in all. But even if we're not going to stop auditioning, I really hate self-tapes. I hate them.
I met my friend, who's a very good actor, very successful actor, the other day, and he referred to them as self-harm. That's what he called them. Because, first of all, they destroy any relationship you've got in your life, because someone has to sit on the other side of the camera. And my wife, I would say, I've got a self-tape tonight, right? And she would go, okay, fine. And she'd go to the cupboard and quietly get a bottle of wine. And she would have to drink, this is absolutely true, half a bottle of wine before she could start self-tape. So all my self-tapes, and to be clear, I got nothing.
Yes.
All of them, dozens of them, you can hear a slurred woman on the other side of the camera.
So,
yes. Yes, that. But it's really, really hard, because you don't meet the director, you don't meet the producer, and you're just guessing
what they want. And at least if you could get feedback, they're like, do it a couple of ways. What do you mean? Should I do a headstand on the table? Like, what do you want? And the only person I've really got around me frequently is my six-year-old son. He's learned to read so quickly now.
Give him the wine. It really improves the other side. He'll really punch up. That's hilarious. I hate them so much. And I think when I was first acting, all my auditions were a printed piece of paper.
Yes.
in a room with people. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah.
And over the years of doing that, you get to know people. Mm-hmm. Even from the act of failure, you get to know people. And I think that the problem with everything being digital and self-tape is the act of failure is just nothingness.
Nothing.
You don't even get a morsel of, well, at least I've met that person.
And then we've got that connection and maybe I come across better in person. But then do I miss in-person auditions? Yes, I do. But I do remember a time when I went into an audition. I was so nervous because it was a relatively big role at the time. Mm. And the casting director and I think the director, they both stood up at the same time and they both put out their hand to shake. And I didn't
know.
Who's
more important?
Yeah, so I just shook both at the same time.
May old acquaintance be.
And I know they looked at me like, girl.
You've not got the job. The worst one I did, I went in for an audition, just popped into my head because of the handshake. And I remember the casting director, she's a really successful casting director. And God, I can't believe I did this. I went like this with my nose. Just brushed my hands. Because I was a cold day and I had that wet nose thing. And I wasn't thinking. And I just went, hi, Rachel. And she went, I'm not shaking. And I went, no, sorry. And I was like, oh God, I don't know why I did that. Because I had a drop. And I know. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And then the rest of it, that's it. The whole audition was a write-off. I hate auditions.
I do. Like, can't you just go off vibes? Trust me. Just give me the role. Trust me.
I mean, I once auditioned for the remake of Mary Poppins. Mm. And I auditioned for Milkman. And my line was, morning. And I had to go to a room and do that audition in the flesh. I had to sit down. Hi, guys. Lovely to meet you. Thank you so much. Morning. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the opportunity. I promise you. I mean, hated Lydia in actor's life for me. Sure. It's just, it's horrible.
It's horrible. And, you know, I just find it a bit soul destroying, just a teeny bit, you know. And then you see these breakdowns, especially for the commercials. And then like, we want a woman who's got mystique, who's this, who's that, who's experienced at doing this. And then you watch the actual commercial when it comes out and it's like a few seconds. I don't know, where was the mystique?
Mystique did not come across there. I saw desperate. That's what I saw. I saw much richer than me now.
Definitely.
I mean, okay, good. All right. Good. Always nice to moan with another actor. Enjoyed that. So look, loads and loads of books, loads of monologues and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what these are, and I'm fascinated by all of them. Streetcar Named Desire, I do know what that is, thank you. The Alchemist, I know what that is. You have got, let's find something which I don't know. 1984, Women, Race and Class, Angela Davis.
That's a classic, that's amazing.
Talk to me.
Angela Davis as a thinker, as an activist, as a former Black Panther, her mind, I think that was when I really got into my zhuzh and my vibe of Black feminism and really understanding how the world functions. Because like we said, you can go into audition rooms, you can see casting breakdowns. And at the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, but why have they done it this way? And then you start learning the language for why things are the way they are. Like, why is it that if I see beautiful girl next door, there is no way in hell I'm thinking that's a Black woman that they're asking for that role. But we just know what these things mean over time. And to be able to read someone break it down academically that actually these are the theories to back up your reality, I'm like, okay, fair enough, got
this is the code, right? And this is why, so you, it's like the Matrix, you go, oh, so beautiful girl next door, you mean, what you're meaning is white woman.
Yes.
That's what you're meaning there.
Yeah.
I've seen the code. And the thing is, when that moment happens, and I really, for me, talking as a very privileged white man, you know, but for me, watching, I was doing a studio warm-up for a sitcom once, and written by a man.
Yeah.
It didn't get commissioned. It was all white men playing the main parts, and every woman was either a slag or ridiculously beautiful or an old. Like, and I was just sat there, in my own little world, it was like an awakening, which is where that word awakening to my experience of that came from. I was like, oh my God, I see it.
Yeah.
I see it. And then, so then for people to have weaponized that word, which I know has a much more important context elsewhere, woke, and for that to become an insult, I find so weird and perverted that that's become an insult when people say that. You're like,
you're woke, you're too woke.
Yes, I've woken up.
Yeah, I've literally.
Also, you're asleep. I don't get it.
I'm
don't
conscious
get it.
Now. Yes. Like, and you're making fun of me because you're not conscious?
Yes.
Well, of course you would. So actually that makes sense. Of course you'd make.
But it's so much fun because from my point of view, because the consequences for me as a privileged white man are not the same. I get that. But it's so much fun for me to be able to see it and go, I see it now. I see what you're doing. You're fucking busted. there's not much I can do, but I see it. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
It makes a world of difference. And also, it just helps you to feel like, oh, I'm not crazy then.
Yes.
So when I saw that, oh, I'm not crazy then. And I honestly do feel like it does make life more fun. You just don't take things personally in the same way.
Yes.
So now when I see the auditions and my agents put me up for something, I'm like, girl, you and I both know that that's crazy. Yeah. But sure, whatever. Yeah. Do whatever you want.
Has it changed? Do you think it's changed?
Yes, of stuff. Yes. I think it's changed a little bit now. So when they're saying beautiful girl next door, it could be a biracial woman. You know, that we're kind of moving the meat of the, you know, the metrics a little bit. So that's fine. The needle's moving ever so slightly. But again, in the grand scheme of things, other people are making their own things now, which we didn't have a lot of before. So Issa Rae's Insecure, I think it really shifted things as well, because then you got to see the beautiful girl next door, but it's a black woman this time. So how do they contextualize what that looks like and things like that? And so that would mean that Issa Rae is the awkward girl. She's that awkward girl next door.
Yeah.
And it started to make people think differently, I think.
Yeah. It takes time. Takes time.
Love takes time.
Takes time, but hurry up, guys. Hurry up, because we're running out. Okay, good. Okay, in 2012, yes. Letters to a Young Poet.
Oh, yes. I watched Sister Act 2 again. That's why I bought that.
There you go.
Yeah. So Whoopi Goldberg, her character tells them that, you know, you should be reading letters to a young poet. Yeah. And then they start singing their songs. If you want to be somebody. So I said, you know what? Let me go and read letters to a young poet. But I think why she was saying that was she was saying to them, if you are whatever you say you are, you should be that thing daily. If you're a writer, write. If you're a singer, sing. And because she, all of this, thought process around I'm an aspiring actor.
Yes. It's got an apology built in.
Yeah. At what point do you stop aspiring?
Yeah.
As the actor. So you're either an actor or you're not.
Yeah. Aspiring means failed. You are doing it. So you are an actor. Just don't say that word.
Yeah.
Pro Fight cowhide leather boxing gloves, authentic RDX focus pads.
Yeah. Because then I became a personal trainer.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
So I had to get out there with my clients, dragging this suitcase filled with equipment up and down to different parks to train them.
But you've got that energy. I feel like doing some burpees now just talking to you. So are you a beast? You beast people? Come on. Or do you go in the nice way?
A bit of both. I think it depends on what people need. So I had the kind of clients. I usually find that intelligent men, successful men tend to have female PTs. I can't.
What a delicious observation. I'm never walking through a park again without going,
successful, intelligent. Love that. Because it takes a certain type of man to go, I want to be told how to get fit by a woman.
Yeah.
And they are so good. They listen. And when you find out what they do for a career, I'm like, oh, I can understand why you might not want a beefy sort of guy telling you, just like, get out my face.
I really, with exercise, struggle with the coercion approach. Because I just go, no, I don't want to do it.
I don't want to.
It's never going to work for me. And I think a lot of people feel the same way because we're not all psychopaths. I have to be coaxed into this physically grueling thing.
Yes.
Nicely.
And so yeah, they were great. Lots of like different types of clients, and some of them you can't shout at them. I'm not the kind of person that you can motivate by shouting at me, because I will throw a chair at your head. So
those boxing pads are not for training.
Just flinging them. But yeah, that was really cool. And that's, you know, my passion for it hasn't really kind of stopped, but it was the traipsing up and down with the suitcase constantly, training people out in whatever weather you had.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. All day long, session after session.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you doing it with them, or do you just sort of stand and shout at them?
No, I would do it with them. Because also, I think that was probably, that and lockdown was the fittest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. So funny. Lockdown, you were either fit or fat.
Yeah.
That was it. And I know which one I was. Patreon.com/toasterpod. Okay, so, all right, elsewhere. So we're in the personal training things happening around 2012, 2013. We've got some headphones. We've got a thermometer in 2013.
Yes.
We've got a polystyrene head.
Oh, yes, because I started making my own wigs.
There it is.
Yeah. because I was in my age of making my own hair cream, my own like body cream, like body moisturizers, everything. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to make my wigs myself to protect my hair. I'm just going to make them. So I got the polystyrene head so I could sew the wefts of hair onto the kind of cap. And then I could just pop the cap on and go about my business.
That sounds quite... soothing as a thing to do, or is it just boring?
No, it was cool because you can watch a series and you're just sewing your cap, and then I could do the exact style that I wanted, how I wanted the hair to sit. I could do it and then moisturize or condition my hair, have it all nice and soft, and just pop the cap on. So I just think of like wigs as just hair caps.
Yeah. I need to get a haircut. Why isn't it acceptable for white men to do this?
But have you not been seeing the white men on TikTok that have the little toupees and they'll... No, and they glue it on. Oh, you need to get onto my side of TikTok.
But okay, I'll come over. I'll come over for
for some tea.
10 minutes. But I really, the problem with those, I have seen a couple of TikTok videos where bald guys get the wig put on. The problem is they look really good. And then I'm like, oh man, now it's perpetuating the problem. I've got to have to do this. This is the next thing.
But also, just completely bald is also hot. What are you stroking?
I'm stroking what's left while you say that. This isn't completely... It's fine. I'm leaning into it. I'm owning it.
Yes.
It's fine. It's all fine, guys. This is not about me needing therapy. There is a bit of that. Oh, look, here we go. This is personal trainer. Gilbert Whistle and Lanyard.
Yeah.
You got your whistle.
Yeah.
Blowing.
And then I was doing more sessions with young kids as well.
Oh,
so
right, okay.
Also, because I was working with a charity that the children would raise money, and as their reward, as their gift, I would go in and do a fitness session with them.
Nice.
So that's when I needed the whistle for them.
Oh, that's exhausting on every level. Imagine.
Literally, I was out there in those streets, up and down, constantly.
This is, everyone needs to have this hinterland of a job where you remember being exhausted. No matter how brilliant and rewarding it was, we all need to have that job where you go, do you know what? Today, I'm really glad I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I like, good on you. Do it. I'm not doing that.
I'm done.
Yeah, I paid my dues.
Exactly. All right, look, elsewhere, going into 2014. We're absolutely racing through your whole life.
Wow.
Here. Backpacks, foam rollers, large removal cardboard boxes.
Yes. 2014. So moved. I think 2014, yes, that's when I would have moved in with my partner at the time.
Okay.
So I'm living with someone now. This is cool. This is fancy.
So how old are you in 2014? What stage are we at?
20. How old am I? I'm going to be 40 this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
Welcome to the real deal.
Yeah, I think it's getting started now. My knees creak. So when I want to dip it low, I have to really pick it up slow, like Christine Emilian said, because I'm hearing my knees creak now. It's a whole new sensation.
Is there a geriatric twerking club? Is that available?
I'm going to have to make one. You know, you can't be what you can't see, you know?
You sort of twerk, but at the same time you go, ha, ah, oh.
But you add it in.
Yeah, it's just
a bit of rhythm.
The pain noises are in rhythm. And a nice cup of tea halfway through.
What?
Okay, so moving in with a significant other at this stage.
Yes.
And life stuff settling down.
Yeah, and the foam roller, because I'm running even more now. I think that at that point, I was trying to hit the half marathons, quite a few of them. So the foam roller and all of that stuff was, for me, super. And he was really into the gym.
Right.
Like, really into the gym. And I think when you start dating people who are proper gym people, you have to level up somewhat.
Mm.
Because between 2011 and 2014, I was running and I had my little barefoot shoes, you know, I was doing all of that stuff. And then we started going out and then it was like, okay, bodybuilding.
Here we go.
Yes.
Protein, muscle, go.
Oh, protein shakes, BCAAs, creatine. Oh God, it's a lot.
Creatine makes you thirsty.
Yes.
So this is the thing, right? The world of bodybuilding and putting on muscle has slowly become so much more mainstream.
Yes.
So things like the protein consumption that you've got to do to put muscle on, and putting muscle on has been proven time and time again to be so important.
Yes.
But this protein stuff, the amount you have to have.
Yeah. And now people are doing like you have to have the beef collagen, not the whey collagen, and the nose to tail, that we grind the whole thing down and we give you that, and you get all of the protein, and like, but it tastes like dirt.
I don't want to. I want to die at 60. I'd rather die at 60 than eat toe to tail. What? I'm not interested in beef toes.
Just everything. We use all of the, like, but and we've added a bit of cacao. Well, I can still taste the cow.
Oh yeah. cacao. That's just sad chocolate. Don't put that anywhere near me. So at this stage, so this is an interesting relationship here. Mm-hmm. So we're working out.
We're doing all of the things, like making little videos.
Did the thinky stuff, did the monologues, did the acting, did the social commentary, did that take a back seat when you're doing this?
I think it was kind of growing. I was still learning. I was still reading the books. I was still trying to
learn.
I can
see you were still reading the books. We're racing through them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
always okay. Books. Every year, the books must be there. I love books so much, my God.
I know.
I haven't read most of them.
Well, of course, that's the point. You get the book and you smell the book and then you put the book away.
Just look at them.
Yes.
They look really great.
I know. I'm the same. My pile of books, Paradise Lost. Oh, yeah. It's a constant battle to find time to read, mm-hmm. especially in an age of TikTok.
Yes.
Especially when you've got young kids. It's really hard.
There's a lot.
Blue metal cash box.
Yes. So I could store my things, some clients want to pay in cash and this and that. And I just started thinking about safes a lot more. Mm. Like, let me have somewhere separate to put my things, my passport, my this, my that. Yeah, yeah. So
you get old.
Yeah.
So as you get older, you start to think about things like this.
I can't wait to get a place where I can break down the wall and then install the safe in there and have a little painting at the front.
Oh my
I just
God.
Want to be proper fancy with it.
You've just given me a life ambition I've never had before. To have a safe behind a painting.
Yeah.
With a...
It just feels so grown up.
Yes, but I don't know what I'd keep in there because I don't really have anything. Possibly a passport.
Possibly.
Maybe a... I don't know.
It'll probably be ridiculous what I'd actually put in there.
I know what I keep in there. Mm. The big charger for my laptop. Keep my sons away from it. That's what I keep in there. I'm getting the 100 watt. This is the charger laptop.
Children are such charger magnets.
Oh my...
They just steal them.
Yes.
Like, why are you using my big, big charger for my big, big laptop on your tablet?
Yes. My son the other day was using a big charger with the Apple Watch thing attached
to
it.
No, see, now you're being ridiculous.
I was like, mate, you're going to charge the Apple Watch in 30 seconds. And I'm trying to look at, you know, bbc.co.uk downstairs. And I can't because my laptop's run out of bats. That is a niche complaint.
Yeah.
But it's so true. Kids and chargers.
You just find them with it and you're like, what's going on?
Good. I'm glad we've got that one out there. 2015, large cardboard boxes. Oh, she's moving out.
So I moved. I moved again. Wow. Yes, I moved again. And I stayed there up until now. And I'm about to move again. So I've just ordered large cardboard boxes again.
You see how cardboard boxes on Amazon punctuate your life.
Yes.
If you ever need to write the life story, all you need to do is go through Amazon and look up cardboard boxes.
When did I move? When did my life change?
Exactly. It's all there for you. Okay, good. Yoga mat. Lots of yoga stuff here.
Yeah. So I think 2016, I started taking hot yoga very seriously.
Oh, talk to me about the hot yoga.
So good. I mean, I many times thought I was dying. Many times.
I mean, most exercise is a journey towards death.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's a bit explicit, but it's just like, you just get to the edge of it.
I see. Okay. All right, fine. We'll go there. Yeah, I'll come with you.
And then you just, to the brink of death.
Yep.
And then you come back.
Yeah. You're window shopping death.
Yeah. So like, basically, what would that feel like if my heart just suddenly just would like burst out of my throat? Wonderful.
When you're doing hot yoga,
yes.
Are there people there? You're looking at them thinking, well, if they can do this, I can do it. Because they're not going to survive.
Absolutely. Take that up one more degree and see what happens. See what happens.
It'd be really funny to get the controller. Boop, thud, thud. Boop,
exactly.
Boop, thud, thud, thud.
I'm still standing.
It's not competitive hot yoga. Kalechi's just invented a new yoga.
Everything feels competitive. But yeah, hot yoga was going great. My hamstrings were so kind of like loose and long and wonderful. Mm. And then I watched a documentary and I said, maybe not go to Bikram anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
We could go to hot yoga, not Bikram.
Because what? Why?
Because the guy was doing bits and it's not good.
I don't know about this. Can you tell me about this? Or is this not appropriate content for the podcast?
What's Pardon me.
What's the thing?
He was just touching up the people then. The people that would come to learn because they have his tutelage and like learn from him about how to teach his 26 postures, and he was trying to get them into extra postures, if you know what I mean.
Mate, what?
Why must all the quote-unquote gurus just be fiddling? Why must they be fiddling and their penises just fiddling?
What is wrong with them?
Were the 26 postures not enough? Bro, you're on your... You're on your head. You can lift your legs up like this and touch your head while laying on your tummy. Is that not enough in life?
So what you're saying is Bikram has kind of been cancelled.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Most
of the places now have all changed their names, except for the ardent ones who are still kind of like worshipping him.
It was never proven, actually. Yeah. And actually, they're
and he was so lovely to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
he
was very nice to me.
When he touched my nipple.
Yeah. Also, that's really terrible that you then look at all the positions and you're like, hang on, that one. That's horrendous.
Yeah. And so I was really loving it. And then people were like, girl, you might want to stop promoting that particular studio. Not even that I was promoting them. You know, you'd show where you're at.
Yeah.
So a lot of them have changed their names now to just simply Hot Yoga.
I see.
And
fine.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Beware the guru.
Beware.
That is the best advice.
It's not a good look.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
All right, we got some shoe stretchers.
Oh, yes. I was buying some fancy little Kurt Geiger bits. It was a particular pair of Kurt Geiger gold platform heels that was so super cute, but the front of them was just really narrow. Now, bear in mind, I've been wearing barefoot running shoes for a while now. And so they let your feet just be feet.
Splay.
Yeah. So now I'm trying to wear these heels and it's like, girl, you're not a heel girly anymore.
You need little shoe corsets, foot corsets.
Yeah. To kind of rein them back in.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So because you've been wearing proper shoes, your feet were being feet.
Yeah, they were being feet. And it was like, well, you can't be feet and be cute. Mm. So what do you want to be?
This is a big sliding doors moment. Oh, I don't know what to do. I want to look good.
So I've got the shoe stretcher. So hoping that, maybe I'll be able to kind of squeeze into them. However, now I've discovered numbing cream. Just don't feel your feet.
Does that work for emotions as well? Can I?
Just rub it on my chest.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't rub it on your chest.
Don't do it. Don't use it. So hang on. So there's numbing cream, what you put on your feet and it takes away the pain of the...
Yeah, and so women just wear it, whoever, can wear for hours. Just not feeling it, but... I'm sure when you get home and you see your foot's discombobulated.
Yes, that's a shame.
Yes.
But you can, so look away.
Yeah.
And you don't know that's happened. God, that's, I'm learning a lot on this episode. You've bought a safety sticker, which is a picture of a prohibition. Someone's not allowed to sit down.
Someone's
sitting down with a red line through
it.
Is that like a gym class? No sitting down, am I?
I've opened my pole studio at that point now.
Pole studio's here, guys.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
So that would be 2017, I believe, when the...
Yes.
Yes. When the pole studios open, I love some gold. I love a bit of gold. So I made sure that the radiator covers at the studio, they're painted gold.
Lovely.
And people have this propensity to want to sit on things. And so they kept going to sit on the radiator covers. And I'm like, I can't, no disrespect, I can't hold that.
I thought hot yoga had killed you off. And it hasn't, you're still here? Wow. So this was to stop. So this, to be clear, this do not sit sign was to stop people from sitting on your gold radiator covers at your pole dancing studio.
Absolutely.
What a sentence.
Didn't deter them. So I started putting spikes.
You'll never pole dance again. The Psychic Tarot Oracle deck. Hello.
Yes.
Nice. Are you into your tarot?
Okay. It's my kind of... Is it a side hustle when it's my main form of income now?
No. You know, so, is it your main
form? Yeah, it's one of my... It's like probably my second... Like my second most lucrative stream of income.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So reading tarot cards.
Yeah, reading tarot cards. I've read for hundreds of people.
Where do you do
it? I do virtually and I do in person.
And what is the thing that people get most from the tarot process? What do you feel like is the best benefit of it?
To be seen. I feel like ultimately enough of us aren't seen. And I think some of us gravitate towards careers where we are seen because we weren't seen in some ways when we were growing up. So we move towards these things, whereas other people maybe aren't as unhinged as we are. So they don't go towards that, but they still want to be seen. So to have somebody pull out cards and reflect them back to them in a positive way, they love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is very interesting. because there's no the debate about, oh, it's rubbish, it's like horoscopes. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, what are the... Okay, sure, you can say that.
Yeah.
But people keep doing it.
They keep doing it.
So there has to be... there has to be a tangible emotional benefit, a psychological benefit. Yeah. It's really interesting. Being seen.
Being seen. You can forget all of the other stuff. Forget the esoteric. Forget the metaphysical.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it comes back to somebody asking, can you see me? And you showing them what you can see of them in a way that is healthy and is actually conducive to their growth.
And listening.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the thing, isn't it? Because we are in a world where, you know, you go and see an NHS doctor for all the reasons. They've got 5 minutes and they're like, go. Yeah, what is it next? Like, everything is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our interactions on social media are all that.
So and this is very slow. Like, we take our time. Like, so it's either 45 minutes or it's an hour. And I guess I have repeat clients because my accuracy is pretty great. So do you
predict the future?
Is it that? Or is it recognizing a pattern and seeing how that pattern is going to play out? So when I do my tarot readings, it also coincides with astrology. So when people are like, oh, horoscopes, but you're not your sun sign, you're your rising sign, which people don't usually know their rising sign because they don't know their time of birth or they don't bother with their time of birth. Oh. So when you're reading, oh, I'm not an Aquarius, I don't behave like an Aquarius. Yeah, you're an Aquarius sun, but your rising is what tells you what's actually happening in your life.
I see.
So through having these things, I can say you're probably going to move around these 2 months here, and people usually would move, or you're going to lose your
boxes
because I saw your Amazon list. Actually, is how I knew. But you're going to lose your job. Your job. They're about to make you redundant. I don't think that they are. And then they email me and they're like, "Yep, I've just been made." I was like, "I told you," because I can see that Saturn's about to move over there, so you're about to lose your job.
Wow, this made me terrified. I work in commercial radio. You just say that and you'll be right. I can see in 2025 some Epsom salts.
Oh, yes.
Dead Sea salts.
Yeah.
Lovely. Love a salt bath.
Because I started making spiritual bath salts.
Talk to me.
So everyone's loving their tarot and everything else. But when they leave, they're like, I want to carry on that feeling. Like, what else can I be doing?
Tarot merch, innit?
Right.
Tarot merch.
So I was just like, you know what? What would really help you is to kind of be in your body. Everyone's always trying to run away from their body or run out of their body. So I've got one that helps with money, peace, love, and protection, like 4 different bath salts. And I kind of add the essential oils and the herbs to the bath salts, package them up, and then people get them. And they're like, my money's gone up. I'm like, there we go, told you. Some of you are like, it's pseudoscience. They bathed in it and then they just, whatever it takes, they still did it though.
So this is the thing. So if we came at it from, you know, my point of view, like if I'm like, well, I don't really believe in this stuff, but there is the most important thing is the message that you're sending yourself. When I have that bath in the thing that you've told me, and then, 2 hours later, I get a call from my boss about something, I'm talking in a different way. That is the thing.
That is it. Because just like you said, in terms of the matrix, the code is the code. Whether you believe in the code or not, but you have the ability to change the code, right?
Yeah.
And some people, all they need is that boost of, I just bathed in some money mag bath salt. So if that boss tells me I'm going to get my promotion, and you just have a bit more vim. And then there you go. You got the thing, but you were always probably going to get the thing if you just was a bit more confident.
Stop saying aspiring in a bath. That's it.
Aspiring bath salts.
That's aspiring. God, I love it.
When they're looking through your shopping history and they don't understand it, you have been bought red-handed.
2026.
Yes.
Very recent now.
Yeah.
We're up to date. Boxing hand wraps.
Yes.
We see fight. This is what we're seeing in you. I like this stuff. Yeah. It's great. Polarized cycling glasses.
Yeah, because I run a lot. A lot. Calm down, love. you know, we have to rein it back in. I don't run as much as I was, running in 2020 and 2021 when the roads were just clear.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it. I'm sorry for everyone that died, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Sorry, Phil. All joking aside, it was awful.
Yes.
But the roads were clear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the running.
When they were like, everyone can get back outside, I was like, everyone?
I've got a theory that people started walking in the roads in lockdown and they still do it.
Because what is going on with pedestrians? And I don't want to honk, but do you not like your life? I know the world is terrible, but are you trying to leave?
I swear. that is the road they're on. I swear to you, Gletchy, people never used to walk in the roads before lockdown.
Because when I went to New York and they were like, don't jaywalk. I was like, we don't jaywalk in the UK. So I don't know what you're on about. Recently, just people just walking.
Running. I've had to. I have had to beat people out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
it's very hard to beep in a nice apologetic way.
No, you just have to do what you have to do.
Beeping is a finger straight away.
I'm trying to save your life. What are you doing?
And then they get all stroppy with you. You're like, dude,
just why are you launching yourself into the road? But, oh, they'll be looking at their phone and just putting one foot out, right, ready to cross into the street. Like,
yeah. Don't.
If you don't like life, let's talk about why.
We can solve
right?
that.
But my hand wraps are for Muay Thai. So I've
what's that?
Thai boxing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine, fine, yeah. fine.
So I've been taking that very seriously. I went to Thailand for a few weeks. Sierra wasn't there. But so...
Please welcome to the show. Before we finish, Sierra, come on in. You would lose your shit. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
But yeah, Muay Thai's been going really, really well. I think that... If you're,
so why is it good? Is it a fitness thing? Is it spiritual?
It's everything. Because we're seeing the state of the world. And I think that sometimes you can feel helpless as anybody. But I think specifically as women, you could just feel helpless. And I think that I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu on and off for years. And I just thought the gi doesn't look cute on me. I'm so sorry. So I couldn't really stay on. I couldn't stay on it. But Muay Thai, I can wear some little cute shorts.
Yeah, you look great.
Maybe they're like a little bit satin.
Nice.
You know, it's a whole situation.
Mm-hmm. You've got to think about the gram.
You have to.
Always.
You have to. Like if I'm getting beaten up, that is so fine. But do I look cute?
Not the shorts.
Not the shorts, please. God, no.
So you went out to Thailand to sort of practice this.
Just train. To just be at a training camp. Just be at one of the gyms and twice a day, just training in the heat. And
how long for?
3 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
It was wonderful. Like, it was the best birthday present to myself. I was like, I just want to, this is all I want to do. I just want to train, run, just mind my business.
Yeah.
But coming it was
back
wonderful.
To real life must have been a shock after that.
Yeah, but then I tried to stay on it. Like, oh, well, I can still train once a day, go to the gym. No, you can't. That direct debit will beat your ass.
Yeah. So, the direct debit of doom staring at you. Look, we can see the knees are cracking because you got a twin pack of bamboo knee wraps.
I needed to because I went out running one day. All these kicks, and they're always telling you could kick harder, kick with more precision, kick, you know, with more speed. And then my knee went, oh. I went for a run.
Does obviously this stuff is you know, it's physical form. Is it defense? That's what this is, the Thai boxing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel safer then as a result? That is a big part of this.
You have to. And doing the social commentary and some of the things, some of the, you know, nasty emails and things I've received throughout the years.
Oh, really?
Even if you can't do much, at least in your mind, you're like, well, at least I've got a few bits, you know, like Mary Poppins. I've just got a few bits in my bag just in case.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things. And we see more and more things about women and women being, it's just good to know how to defend yourself a little bit. I would recommend it. We see other factions of society, they're taking self-defense very, very seriously. And us, quote unquote, liberal lot, we're just having a great time going to day parties and pontificating. They're training. So even if it's just a little something, we should know how to be self-sufficient in some regard. That's how I see it anyway.
Yeah. No, I think that's very good advice. I will stick with running away like an insect. it's never not worked for me. Kelechi Okafor, thank you so much for coming
thank
on My Mate Bought a Toaster. This has been brilliant.
Thank you.
We had it in the first sentence, honestly. Amazing.
There you go. Oh, the brilliant Kelechi Okafor. How much do we love her? Hope you enjoyed that episode. And don't forget, give us a follow on all the socials. You can see videos of that episode. The whole episode is up on YouTube or Son's ads if you fancy. Go to patreon.com/toasterpod. We'll be back next week with a toasted. We've got great guests on the way in the next few weeks. Jamelia has done a brilliant episode. Chesney Hawkes has done a fantastic episode. The comedian and actor Kevin Eldon has done a fantastic episode. There is so many good bits and bobs on the way. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you give us a nice sexy review. That'd be really good. Thank you. And also don't forget, of course, today's episode brought to you with our friends at Great Oak Farm. Find out about Sammy the Slowworm. I mean, even if you don't have little people in your life, I'd buy this book. It's a wonderful read. But if you do and you want your kids to find out about nature and to be told an ecology story that is a bit different, that isn't massively mainstream, isn't one of those books that you see in supermarkets, this is a new thoroughly independent venture, then just click on the link. I think the book's only about £8. Have a click on the link. It makes a great present as well. It's fantastic. Go and give them a follow, Great Oak Farm over on Instagram, and we'll see you next week.
It's my mate, water toaster. Oh, it's my mate, water.